Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church this beautifully rainy morning. And whether this is your first time here in worship or you have been here your whole life, we are so glad that you found your way to this worshiping community. And we've got a lot going on and ways that you can learn more about how we are church together. In your bulletin, you'll see announcements and also calendars. If you have any questions about our order of worship or the great events happening here at the church, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive your questions and comments. And at some point during the service, if you would, at the end of your pews or hospitality registers, we like to be able to greet one another by name. So if you would sign that and pass it along down, we have a chance to do that. So we kick off our program year this morning, and we will have an opportunity to meet and greet and commission Sunday school teachers. And so that will be a wonderful part of our worship today. Other things going on to draw your attention to, of course, we are missing Katie Steert, our associate pastor, who we are now sharing with Laurelton Presbyterian Church. She's over there this morning. But we are looking for new ways to partner in mission and ministry together. We are Presbyterian. We believe that we do mission and ministry best when we are in partnership. And one of those opportunities is to form a new relationship with Laurelton through mission at Cameron Community Ministries. If folks are looking for a great way to help serve and build community with those who are hungry down on the Lyle Avenue community, please let me know, and I am happy to help put you in touch with some of the folks who are doing that. Also, speaking of hungry, not next Sunday, but the next following Sunday, the last Sunday in September, don't forget our favorite fall potluck will be happening. A few other announcements as we get going here. Heather, go right ahead.
Hi, everybody. I'm Heather Pym, if anyone didn't know me. On behalf of the Youth Committee, I wanted to have you all get your calendars out and save the date for October 4th for our annual Wheel-a-thon for Youth Mission. Please note, we mixed it up this year. We're going west instead of east. We are starting and finishing at the Grease Canal Park with a picnic there afterwards, and we're opening it up to the congregation to join us for anybody who wants to celebrate with the youth. Pledge envelopes are going to be handed out today, I believe, for the youth. And if you want to help support the youth mission, find a youth to sponsor. There's going to be a booth out there after worship. And I don't know if it starts today or next week, but just find a youth to sponsor. This year we have five seniors going to Jamaica: Jocelyn Pym, Jennifer Hasenlop, Katie Oman, Nadia Endelovsky, and Allison Tuttle. All proceeds will help them defray their trip, and any other youth and other grades that will help defray their summer youth projects. So I hope to see you all there. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Andrea Unson on behalf of the Spiritual Journey Committee. We are continuing our Exploring Sacred Spaces journey with three more legs. The next leg is Saturday, September 26th at 10. We're going to be walking the labyrinth at the First Unitarian Church in Rochester. The second is Tuesday, September 22nd at 7. We're going to have yoga right here in the sanctuary. So beginners and all levels are welcome. Please bring a yoga mat, water, wear loose and comfortable clothing. And then the last one is Monday, October 5th at 7. It will be tapping, the EFT technique. We're going to explore and practice how the tapping technique can help us connect inward to relax and reflect on our sacred spaces. So if you have not signed up yet, or if you've signed up already and you want to continue with the three legs of this journey, please see me outside the sanctuary. Thanks a lot.
And because of the rain this morning, we have moved our coffee fellowship from the patio down to Fellowship Hall. So following worship, all are welcome down to Fellowship Hall. We did make some coffee, take a bit of the damp chill off the bones. So we continue also this second Sunday in September with our season of creation. And if you will recall from last month, we are also inviting members of the congregation to share ways that their faith life has been impacted and that they connect with creation. During the summer, a group of young adults headed over to Stony Point, New York, where they participated in a wonderful mission opportunity involving creation. We'll be hearing some of those experiences for the rest of this month. This morning, we welcome David Keeling to share for just a few moments about that mission opportunity in creation. Come on, it's all right.
Good morning, I'm David Keeling. As Melissa just said, a group of us went to Stony Point, New York, about 5 hours from here, and I just would first like to say how beautiful it truly is there. It's a wonderful center. If any of you have a chance to go, maybe with work or school, I suggest you take the opportunity. So what I'm going to share about is the first day we harvested potatoes, and I've never done anything like that. Heck, I've never even worked on a farm. And in order to do that, they have mounds of dirt, and you have to dig into the dirt. And the potatoes are very hard to find. They can be big, very small, and they also sometimes look like rocks. So you're like, oh man, this is huge. No, that's just a rock. And so throughout the trip, I was trying to think to myself, how can I relate this back to my faith? I mean, it's just digging for potatoes, and I didn't really at first see how it could connect. And then over the time, I thought about it, and I was like, this is kind of like your faith journey. God is there. I used this analogy when we were there. God is like a potato. You have to search and dig for him, but he's there waiting for you. You just have to dig a little bit, and then you will harvest him and see the amazing opportunities that he has for you. And that's how I related it back, and it just took me some time to make that connection, but I wanted to share it with you guys, so thank you.
Thank you. Friends, let us continue and lift our hearts to God in a time of worship.
Thank you.
Please stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship. Come, friends, from every corner of the earth. We come to worship the one who created us and all living things. Imagine, we bear the face of God to all living parts of creation.
We come to celebrate our place in the vast scheme of creation.
Our God, maker of the universe, cares about each and every one of us.
We bring our hearts and voices to sing praise to God.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Jesus said, "I came not to be served, but to be a servant." We know this is an example we are called to follow, and yet we so often find it difficult. We want to be served, we want to be important, we want to have our needs met. Forgive us, loving God. Stretch us, open our hearts to experience and celebrate the true joy that comes from serving others. Draw out from us a desire to be part of a serving community where each of us shares a concern for the needs of each other and none are forgotten. Amen. Please take a moment for your silent prayers of confession. God has made us, all of us, and God loves us, all of us, as if we were God's favorite. So be assured that as you seek to rely your hearts with God's, you are forgiven and loved unconditionally. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, after that opening hymn, I feel like we can just go home now. Amen. Amen. But we have a lot of great worship and celebrating to do this morning. So if all of the children would come forward, and this could be children of any ages, from very tiny to however you want to define yourself as a child of God, you are welcome here. Come on, good morning. Best church speech you've ever heard? Well, thank you. I'll take that. Thanks be to God. Yes, yes. Because we're all children of God, right? Yeah, pretty much. Good morning. So as we are celebrating in this season of creation, this morning we are celebrating all of us, all of God's children. And how it is we are invited to care for the world and care for one another and learn just exactly how we might do that. And trust me, this is an ongoing learning process. All of us as kids and all of us as adults, we keep learning how it is that we can be God's children in the world together. So this morning we are going to celebrate and recognize some of the folks who have taken on God's call to help teach and explore with all of you in this congregation what that might mean. So I'm going to invite Tammy Pignone and Sherry McFarlane from the Youth and Young Children's Committee, who are going to introduce all of us to the Sunday school teachers for this part of the year. So I see their way, working their way. Go on ahead. It's all you guys.
Tammy and I are here to lead the commissioning of Sunday school teachers and youth advisors. As I call your name, if you'd stand, please. Preschool and kindergarten, Jennifer Hasenlop, Katie Oman, Jossie Pym, Samantha Dykes. First through third grades, Beth Marconi, James Hart, Tess McKeel, Abby Jarvis. Fourth through sixth grades, Anne Marie Sim, Allison Tuttle, Carol Henschen, Brian Bullis, and our subs, Vicki Guta, Rebecca Jarvis, Linda Sidori, and Bridget Wohlers.
And for our junior high, we have Todd Pym, Beth Molina, Dave Balsley, and Carol Balsley. For senior high, we have Mary Hadley, Carrie Dykes, Keisha Binko, Joe Castrino, Sharon Call, and Tracy Berkovich.
That's you.
Oh, that's me? Oh. Together we are a community called together to be God's people. Together we learn from each other and share our gifts. Teachers and advisors, you have accepted the responsibility of leading and nurturing the children and youth of this congregation. You have been asked to share your talents with them so that the word of God may be understood and the love of Christ be experienced by them.
Still you.
Still me. Thanks. What would I do without you?
I don't know.
Do you promise to prepare responsibly, to be eager and energetic, to teach and advise with loving care, and to pray for the children and youth with whom you are working? If so, please say, I do.
I do. Children and youth, you are an important part of our church. From you we learn, and with you we discover the joy of journeying with God. Will you promise to come to Sunday school and youth group with an open heart and an open mind, so that together we may learn to live in the way God wants us to live? If so, please say, I do.
Parents, do you promise to encourage your children and youth to live in the way of Christ through your conversation, your prayers, and by your example? Will you support and communicate with your children's teachers and advisors so they can be a helpful part of your church family? If so, please say, I do.
I do. Members of the congregation, when children are baptized, you promise to care for each new disciple, teach them the good news of the gospel, and strengthen their bonds with the household of God. Will you also pray for the learning ministry of this church, for its committee members, for its teachers and advisors, for its youth and children? If so, please say, I will. Let us pray.
God, you have brought us together in this community of faith. We are grateful for the gifts that each person brings to our church, and we rejoice that you have brought us together to grow as your people. May we learn from each other and serve you faithfully in this world. Amen.
Yes, we do. To room two, please.
Everyone to room two? All right, so parents and caregivers, if you would accompany your child or children to room two. And then when you're all finished meeting with Sunday school teachers, don't worry, just come on back in this morning. It's kind of a free-for-all.
First reading of the word is from Psalm 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above all the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants you have found bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals, that you care for them. Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
If I could have the ushers open up the doors right over there so our parents can come in without feeling like they're having to open doors. Thank you, Tom. I've never been accused of not being loud enough, so if it's a little loud in the hallway, I'm not too worried. So last week we marked our first Sunday to explore the season of creation. And we left off in the middle of the first creation story there in chapter 1 of Genesis, in the middle of the sixth day. According to this telling of the story, the earth brought forth creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals. God made the wild animals of every kind on earth, those cattle and the creeping things. And God saw it was good. Following the rhythm of the poetic narrative in these first 5 days, when God celebrates the goodness of creation, the day ends. But something different here happens on this sixth day. God sees the goodness of creation and takes a little bit of a lunch break. In all honesty, this is the first time I've ever paid any attention to this little detail. But did you know that when God created humankind, we did not get a day to ourselves? I know, we think that we did. And it's a little bit of an irony, since this Sunday we are focusing especially on humanity, and you see the images of people as they show in the slideshow here. But it's a misconception to believe that in the creation story, our place in the created order is somehow separated. We don't get our own day. On the sixth day, after the cattle and the wild animals and the creeping things are created, the story continues. The sixth day. And I'm going to use a little bit different translation. Eugene Peterson does such a poetic, beautiful job in The Message. So hear the good news of God's people, the word of God for the people of God. God spoke. Let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflecting our nature so that they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself, and to every animal that moves on the face of the earth. God created human beings. God created them godlike, reflecting God's very nature. God created them male and female. God blessed them. Prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge. Be responsible for the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. And then God said, I've given you every sort of seed-bearing plant on earth and every kind of fruit-bearing tree, given them to you for food. To all animals and all birds and everything that moves and breathes, I give whatever grows out of the ground for food. And there it was. And God looked over everything that God had made, and it was so so very good. And then it was evening, and it was morning, day six. So ancient imagination spoken through these contemporary words conjure up all sorts of images and associations for us. So when I was a child, first hearing this story in Sunday school classes, I imagined God looking over the chaos and darkness of the world and demanding cosmic organization of all of the elements. I've always always thought there is something reassuring about God, sorting through the chaos, identifying only what is needed. And with these grand, sweeping motions over the void, God systematically arranges the darkness and the light. God creates the boundaries between the earth and the sky, enforcing compliance that everything has its place. God sent the divide between the seas and the dry land. Even the living creatures, the birds of the sky and the cattle and the wild animals, they all have a place. And then when God sees all this creation shining with the brilliance of organization, then God says it's good. And with everything in its place, creation is ready to be used when it is needed. So it is time. Time, in my imagination, God says, to create human beings who will appreciate the organization that I have put in place. I will make human beings to be like me so they will ensure the conditions of my grand organization. They will buy into this model of keeping everything in its place, and it'll be included in their job description. Yes, with my blessing, they will ensure standardization and ensure the model of a place for everything and everything in its place. And then I think to myself, God said the method of creation, of organization, is so good, I'm sure that in a few centuries, human beings will find a way to implement this organization into all of their workplaces. We may not get our own day, but at least we will get maximization of our effectiveness, keeping creation in its place with the time we have. So for anyone who is currently outside of the workforce, my little parody there on the creation story with the 5S workplace organization methodology, I'm starting to see some head nods, may have been a bit lost. But regardless, for those of us whose brains are hardwired for organization, there is something really comforting in believing in a God who has control of all of the elements of the world, believing in creation this way, then gives us justification, really, reason to approach our own lives in similar manners, that it's all to be subdued, controlled. And that way, if we organized our world, if we could just do that so everything has its place, then we wouldn't have to spend all our time reorganizing, right? Recreating the wheel, dealing with the unexpected and chaos. In case you aren't picking up on a little bit of mocking in my tone of voice, I have to also confess that this is my default comfort zone. That when facing the unexpected chaos of life, I will do just about anything to convince myself that I can if I can just exercise dominion over my little part of creation, everything will be okay. Except that the Israelite people, the community, for whom the context that our text this morning first emerges, no matter how much like me and probably a few of you, they wanted this to be true. They just organized it all into days, into hours, into seasons. Everything will be okay. But it wasn't. We know from reading all of the Bible that the story of God's people includes a creation where they experienced extreme heartache, disastrous flooding with Noah, land scorched by drought and not yielding food to eat, earthquakes and windstorms, and the priestly writer of God's creative process here in Genesis most likely captured this oral tradition of the people during the days of the Babylonian exile. A time when they not only remembered and told the stories over and over again of these natural disasters, but they were also dealing with the fallout from human-made chaos. All the previous organizational attempts that they had put into place in worship in Jerusalem had been destroyed. Biblical commentator Richard Boyce wonders, where does one look or trust the ongoing order of the Lord when the temple is destroyed, when one's power has been shattered and one's captors follow a different calendar and worship a different God? When we are at our most vulnerable, fearful, hurting, we are tempted and often succeed in exercising dominion over anything and everything that we can gain control over. I've been around enough hospital beds with families and in one myself often enough to see how this plays out. If we can just get mom's house cleaned up, schedules set up for rehab, meals organized when dad comes home, thank you notes all written, when I get to that bottom of the pile, everything will be okay. I will be okay. Because a place for everything and everything in its place, I will be the one to put it in place. But Boyce says no. This creation story is not a way of handing over control to the people, to humanity. It is a creation story that holds on to hope. When all signs of order in our lives have been destroyed, when we are no longer able to create the order we long for, we must now look for signs of the creative work of God that is beyond our control. If God is still creating order out of chaos in the succession of day and night, maybe God one day will create order once more of this chaos in the lives of God's people. So hold on to God and do not lose hope. What if the order God creates and is still creating in each of us doesn't depend on how well we subdue, have dominion, or a very well thought out organizational methodology? What if living as human beings made in the image of God means life comes from, new life comes from that which is out of our control? If you're struggling with this question, please know you're not the only one. Cognitively, this is outside of my realm of understanding, and I am grateful for gifted, artistic people who God has blessed with the vision to see things differently. There's this wonderful, creative artist and Presbyterian pastor. Her name is Shauna Bowman. And she invites us and challenges us to imagine. So what if we imagine here in this creation story and in our lives, God's act of creating as a lavish work of creativity, of curiosity, and the chaos teeming with a diversity that will make for a full life. And that instead of demonstration of fierce power, what if the power is in God's imaginative act of entering into this raw material of chaos and coaxing it toward life, shaping it so it generates and regenerates. What if we understood God's order not as control, but as divine balance? That God doesn't do battle in this creation story. God doesn't win while creation loses. God creates and collaborates. What if in creating humankind, each and every one of us, we are made in this amazing image of this Creator God, we are invited into the act of creating and not necessarily controlling. And our focus on these verses from Genesis, this humankind taking charge of the earth, translated in some translations as dominion, that when taken to an extreme, as it too often is, when people feel out of control, who subdue the world through violence, what if we imagine this creation story of a God who moves into the world and generates life from the inside out? Where hope comes not from our attempts to have dominion and control, but partnering with our God, who is still creating. How then do we locate ourselves in this work? Are we insiders or outsiders? Are we part of this creative process, co-collaborators, co-creators with God? Or are we experts at implementing organizational methodologies? It seems so trivial to point out that humanity shared a day with other wild creatures. But I do wonder if in our attempts to organize and control creation, we've rewritten this story in our head to emphasize just how important we are. And there's no doubt that being made in the image of God does set humanity apart. But we've gotten so masterful at the separation. We've lost our ability to engage and respond to what we perceive as out of place. I've been thinking a lot about this lately, these questions, and how much they matter. How much they matter because all of us have personal issues, physical illness, grief, mental illness, addiction, struggles with relationships. These questions matter because the people sitting next to you in the pews, right next to you, behind, befront, they have these questions too. And they matter because we're trying so desperately to understand what is happening in our communities around us. Why is there so much violence in our own city? Why are there children who on the first day of school aren't there? Why is there so much food in our grocery stores and farm fields, and yet so many people go hungry? These questions matter because I know that you all woke up one morning and saw on your televisions and in your Facebook feeds these images of dead children on beaches. And then you saw the slew of hate-filled anti-immigration propaganda insisting that everything and everyone has a place. All of this matters. Because all around us, the organization that we are trying so desperately to hang on to is interrupted when all hell breaks loose. And so we, as a congregation, as humanity, as people of God, are invited to work with God, to create hope, to spend more time looking for those opportunities where we can see and collaborate, work with God to recreate hope in this world, to move beyond the systematic organizational methods, which, trust me, I get it. I like them. They worked for me for very short periods of time. And then we turn to one another and we turn to God. And over the course of this next week, as you settle into these new rhythms, for those who have children and grandchildren starting school, for those who are starting school themselves, if you have a new chapter in your life in retirement or work, or if everything just feels like it's going on the same day in and day out, I invite you to look for those opportunities where we can partner with God and with creation to bring about the hope, the love, and the grace that God intends for this world. May it be so. Kind of sermon where I need a little breath, you all need a little breath, and now we'll take that breath and stand together and share in the words of the affirmation of faith from the Westminster Confession of Faith. After God made all other creatures, he created man, male and female, with reasonable and immortal souls, endued with knowledge, righteousness, and true holiness, after his own image, having the law of God written in their hearts, and power to fulfill it, and yet under a possibility of transgressing, being left to the liberty of their own will, which was subject unto change. Besides this law written in their hearts, they received a command not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which while they kept, they were happy in their communion with God and had dominion over the creatures. is our time in worship where we gather our hearts and voices in a time of spoken prayer. If you have a prayer concern you would like to share, either a joy or a concern, please raise your hand and usher will bring a microphone over. And if you would stand if you're comfortable and tell us also who you are. There you go. You got all the instructions, Keisha.
Keisha Binko. I'd like to thank everybody for their prayers for Hannah and Dan Stewart and their infant girl, Myrie. And for your support of them at the Chi Life Farm Market, too, if you've been doing that. They've certainly appreciated all your prayers. Myrie came home from the hospital this week, so indeed that's good news.
Continued prayers for her.
I have prayers for my cousin. She fell down a set of stairs and broke her ankle again.
Prayers for your cousin.
I wanted to pray for all people who lost somebody in the terrorist attacks of 9/11 14 years ago and all survivors of that.
Thank you. For all the families and the world that continues to grieve the loss of loved ones from September 11th.
Jenny Smith, I'm requesting prayers for my nephew, Gary Stewart, who is struggling with blood clots in both legs, and now he has sciatica. He is in terrific pain, so please pray for him. Thank you.
Prayers for your cousin, Jenny.
Heather Pym, I just wanted to prayers of joy. Todd and I will be married 19 years tomorrow.
Congratulations.
So, yes, for putting up with me.
Not seeing any other hands, let us join together. Gracious Creator God, how amazing is your name. While you are over and above all things, still you are right here with us, and we are so very grateful. We think of the vast and wonderful families of your people that we are invited to participate in. Here in our church, in our schools, our workplaces, in our places of community gathering. We think of sisters and brothers we know and love and others whose faces we recognize, but who we do not really know. Touch their lives, God. May they feel your presence as we do. Help all to know that all are loved unconditionally by you, who shaped us in your image and breathed your wonderful spirit deep into our lives. May we always be mindful of the need to speak out for the rights of any who cannot find or use their voices, to uplift one another every chance we get. We are wonderfully made, gracious God, and as your humble people, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. We lift up to God a portion of the abundance which has been entrusted to us to share in the mission and work of God. Let us now receive the morning offering.
Almighty and forgiving God, we, unworthy servants, give you most humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for your creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for your immense, your immeasurable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ. For the means of grace and for the hope of glory, give us such an awareness of your mercies that our hearts may be thankful and that we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but with our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Even in the final hymn, we leave from this time of worship with questions in our hearts. And God said, that is good. Go out into this world with those questions. Share with one another the grace and the love of a God who keeps calling us good and all of creation. And with the saving grace of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, and the creative power of the Holy Spirit who keeps us moving every day. Alleluia. Amen.